Throughout the Gospel of Mark, there are two main questions being asked and answered. Who is Jesus, and what did he come to earth to do? Join us for our new series, Identity and Destiny, as we uncover those answers and how they can impact our own identities and destinies. And now, here's today's message.
We're continuing a series called Identity and Destiny. And Pastor Vern started that last week. Sometimes you have to just switch things up. You have a plan and you're like, this is what we're going to do. And you decide you have to do something else. I thought maybe we should look at Noah this morning and just some of the specifics of ark building, some of the measurements and things. That could be really helpful. Some of you might already need to know that. We're going to push ahead with the series in Mark, though, and I'm hoping you don't need a boat. Maybe things will dry up at some point. Because in this series, we're unpacking the Gospel of Mark, and we're looking at a couple things. The bulk of this is, who is he? Who is Jesus? Who did he say he was? Who did he live as? What were some of the aspects of his character and his personality? And then what did he do? What was his destiny in this world? Last week, Pastor Vern began by talking about Jesus as a servant. He self-identified as a servant, and I really hope that you've been looking for ways consciously all week to put others first, to serve the people around you. And this week, I get to talk about Jesus being an inviter. We see that regularly, that one of Jesus' primary identities was that of an inviter. And it's great to get an invitation. I mean, isn't it great to get an invitation, usually, like most of them? My kids, they're 7, 5, and 2.5. I think that for the older two, the peak of their social life is to get a birthday invitation in the mail. I mean, you get something in the mail with your name on it. You get invited to go to this thing that's really fun. They don't pay for the presents, so not a problem there. And it's like, oh, I've been included. I've been invited to this thing. And I've actually seen how, you know how oppressive regimes and governments, they don't want the people to be educated because it's easier to control uneducated people. I realized that with kids too, because as soon as we had a reader, it became harder to control. We used to get the invitations and Amy and I would open them up and we'd look and be like, Saturday, are we free? I can take, yeah, I'll take them. It's okay. And then we'd let the child know about the invitation. Now, Grace just rips them open and is like, Kinsley, you got invited to a birthday party at Altitude. I'm like, oh man, guess I'm going to Altitude next Saturday. But they're so excited that they've been included, that they've been invited, and they love to receive those invitations. I'm just going to shamelessly throw this out there. I always love being invited to Bills games in the fall. That's a good invitation to get. You know, I try and save my Sundays off for the summer and fall, just in case. Thought you should know that. Or you know what, another one? I'm always, and I say this every time, when somebody asks me to do their wedding, I'm always really honored by that. Like, it doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter how long I've known them. When somebody asks me to do their wedding, I think, well, that's an honor to be invited to do that. There's a lot of couples in this room that I've married or I'm going to marry. And it's an honor when people ask you that. It's this really cool spot that you get to have in their life on this really big day. I told Amy, I had like 4 in 4 weeks one time last summer. And after the fourth one, I said, next year, I'm just going to do one wedding. And I've done 2 so far, and I have 5 more coming up. Because when people ask, I think, well, that's an honor. I really want to do that. I'm honored to be invited. I had a really cool invitation in February, and it was cool for a variety of reasons. One, it was a conference in California in February. So, I mean, I don't care what else we're doing. That's a pretty good start. But it was at this brand new resort on the Pacific Coast Highway in Huntington Beach. And it was with like Bill Hybels and Henry Cloud, some other really awesome leadership people. And we got to like sit with them and like groups of 20 and ask them questions about leadership. And I remember when I got that invitation, taking it home and being like, Amy, look at this. Like, I don't know if they know who I am. I got invited to this, you know, and I had that birthday party invitation feeling. We had a cool staff invitation a little bit ago as well, where Kelly, our early childhood director, who just does a great job for us, she was invited to be one of the presenters at the Kidmin Connect Conference in North Charleston, South Carolina. And she went down and did that last week, and she spoke on some ministry transitions and some of the things that she's learned in ministry over her time here and with some other churches. And it was really cool when she told me about that. We were trying to make it work from a work perspective for her to go. I said, that's awesome that you got invited to do that. And I'm sure that a lot of you have some great invitation stories. We could go through and you could tell good stories, stories of good invitations, stories of not so good invitations. Because no matter what age you are, when you receive an invitation, it's a good thing and it's a good feeling, as long as it's an invitation to something better. It probably should be included, right? If it's not an invitation to something better, then you might not want to receive it. You'd probably rather that you were not invited. Probably, going to take a guess, most of you haven't run in from the mailbox with a jury summons being like, honey, I got an invitation. You know, like that's not. Now, I was on a jury and I loved it. It was awesome. I would love to do it again. I'm going to do my best to answer those questions in a way that gets me on another jury. But that's not usually an invitation that people are really excited to get. As a guy, I'm not really that excited to be invited to a baby shower. Listen, I would do the dishes, I cook, I clean, I'm like a modern man, I do all that stuff, but I don't want to go to a baby shower. You know, I know yours is cool, it's for couples, it's different, it's going to be fun. It's not. So I'll watch the kids so that Amy can go to a baby shower. You can invite her. That's great. If you really want to be awesome, invite Amy and the girls. That's perfect. Then I'll watch a game in peace. But we all love to be invited to something better, to something that's better than what we're currently doing. And that's what Jesus did regularly. And that's what we're going to see as part of his identity as we unpack that this morning. So here's your main point this morning. Jesus was constantly inviting people to something greater than their current situation. Two parts there. He was constantly inviting, but he was inviting people to something greater. Throughout all four Gospels, even though we're only going to look at Mark today, Jesus did this. And what's really cool is he continues to do this through us today. So look at Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple different places in Mark, but we're going to start here at 1 verse 16. And here's what we see. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So I want to kind of look at some observations we can make about Jesus' invitations here and then in another passage at Mark, because there's a lot to learn here. And in verse 17, we saw Jesus said, come, follow me. And I want you to know that the invitation of Jesus is to follow him. And that's not unique to this particular passage. That's not something that was hard to find. That was something I really had to dig for. Jesus said it all the time because that's what his invitation was for. His invitation was to follow him. Now, that might not sound that profound unless you realize and remember that his invitation was to follow him, not to become immediately like him. He didn't see the guys fishing and say, hey, listen, here's a bunch of things that we're going to have to change about you. And then once we do that, you can begin to follow me. That's not his invitation. And we see it over and over again. We see it with somebody like Zacchaeus. We'll see it later in Mark with Levi, where he invites them just to follow. So what do you invite people to? Do you invite people to seek and follow Christ, or do you give them a list of rules that they could never follow? Because truthfully, if I had known all the things that God would ask me to do over the 17 years that I've tried to walk with him, I don't know that I would have signed up for it at that time. You know, if you lay that out there and were like, hey, do you want to follow Jesus? I'm like, yeah, I think I really got to give that a try. But if you're like, all right, here, do you want to follow Jesus? Scrap what you're thinking you're going to do for your career. You're going to become a pastor. I'll be like, oh, man, I don't know. Pastors are kind of goofy. You sure? Like, and here's all the things you're going to have to give up, some things that you like, some things that you enjoy, some things you think you enjoy. You're going to have to get all of those. It's going to affect all your relationships. I don't know. That seems like a lot to put on someone. You know, it's kind of like proposing on the first date. Which is a bad idea. But if I had known the reward and the riches that that God was offering me, the richness of relationships and the quality of life of walking with him, I would have signed up even sooner. But at those initial stages, when we see that, we have a list that we feel like we could never live up to, it's overwhelming. So don't expect a whole lot of changes from someone before following. Just invite people to follow. And as they follow, this really cool thing happens that as you walk with Christ over time, you start to become more and more Christ-like. And it's not always as fast as you want. It's not always as fast as people in your life would like. But as we follow, we become more like him. We don't have to have everything together before we start following Christ, before we start coming to church. I remember kind of thinking through this when Amy and I think it was like late dating or maybe early engagement, because I wasn't getting any younger, still a problem I'm having. And I thought, you know what I need to start doing? I need to start golfing, because golfing is a sport that you can start when you're 25 and you can still do it when you're like 75. You know, you can just keep going. It's a lifetime thing. And so I was like, well, that's cool. I'll start golfing. And I got a nice set of golf clubs and I got all the clothes, you know, like the preppy little khaki stuff. And I tucked my shirt in to golf. That's how serious I was. I tucked my shirt in. Usually somebody's got to be dead or getting married for me to tuck a shirt in. But I did all that, and I was like, okay, I'm all ready. But I needed a membership at a golf club so that I could play golf to get better at golfing. That makes sense. You know, I needed to go and play. But I didn't think I was a good enough golfer to get a membership at a golf club. I'm like, I'm going to get a membership and go over there, and these people are going to be like, that guy's terrible. I mean, he's got the glove out of his back pocket. He looks like he knows what he's doing, but have you seen him swing a club? And I remember having this like wrestling match of like wanting to be a golfer but not being good enough to join a golf member or get a golf membership. And I think there are people that look and they think, you know what, I think there's something going on there. I think there are some people at church and they are learning something about life, and I see them, you know, kind of walking with God and they're changing and their demeanor's changing, but I don't have things together enough to go there. And the invitation is to come and to let God work through those things with us. Not to be a great golfer before you get your membership. That doesn't make any sense. When you come through these doors the first time, you can be as broken as you are. That is the point, because we're walking with God and the invitation is to follow him. So he said, come follow me. And he told them, I will send you out to fish for people. And that's the second thing, is that the invitation of Jesus is to those looking for more. It's to those looking for more. He says, right now, you're doing this, but I'm going to invite you to follow me and to do something even better. And that's the invitation of Jesus. It's to something better. It's to those who are looking for more than they currently have right now. It's to those that are saying, man, this can't be it. This can't be it. And truthfully, some people just aren't looking right now. You know, if I tried to sell you my house, which I don't, I like my house, but if I tried to sell it to you, you're probably not going to buy it. But if you're looking for a house, then suddenly the chances that you're interested in buying that go up a lot. And it's the same thing. There are people that just truthfully are not looking for more in life right now. And I hear this regularly where people say, I don't know, things are going pretty good right now. And I get that. I understand that. If you feel like everything's going well with what you're currently doing and that life is good, then it's not going to be, you're not going to be probably prone to make some major life decisions. But the invitation of Jesus is to those that are looking for more. Andy Stanley, he characterizes it as three knots to listen to. If there's three knots in conversation that kind of give you a natural place to invite someone. If someone says like, hey, I'm not in church, that comes up, and well, yeah, we went to a church and then we moved and we never really found a church that we liked. That's a really great opportunity for you to say, hey, come to my church sometime. It's actually like, it's a pretty cool place. I like it. You should come. I'll buy you breakfast afterwards, or I guess it's 11. You buy him lunch after this service. That's a really natural place. I had a guy that I was talking to, and he, church came up, and he said, ah, yeah, we go with my in-laws, and you know, I don't understand any of the words that are spoken during the hour there, and we're the only couple that's maybe under like 60. It's weird, but we just go with the family, and it's like, I don't know, I don't get anything out of it. And I don't normally try, and somebody's in a church, and I want them to stay there. There's a lot of great churches around, but I said, man, my church is totally different than that. Like, you'll understand everything that's said. Like, my 7-year-old comes and takes notes when I speak, and she gets it. So I'm like, I think you'll understand all the words that are said. There's a lot of young families, young couples. I think you'd really fit in. It was a natural opportunity. Or I didn't feel like I was beating him over the head with it. I was just saying, oh, yeah, well, let me tell you about this church. So not in church, not going well. When somebody's talking about something not going well, that's a really natural opportunity to invite them to something, to invite them to more, to say, oh man, my church, we have a program called Grief Share or Divorce Care or Cancer Care. My church has a program called Celebrate Recovery. That would be an awesome place for you to really connect. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of people that have kind of gone through similar things. And then not prepared for is the third one. If somebody say, you know, well, we were not prepared for this stage of life. We were not prepared for them to die. We were not prepared to be parents. You know, if somebody says, I just wasn't prepared to be a parent. And you can say, man, there's a group at our church, it's called MOPS, and they meet Tuesday mornings and Tuesday nights, and you'll get with a group of other moms who also were not prepared to become parents, because no one's prepared for the first one, right? It just, you're like, well, we're making this up as it goes along. And you can go to this group and connect with other people and find out that you're not crazy because they all feel the same way. And so those are things to look for. Not in church, not going well, not prepared for. Those are natural times to invite someone. But I think a lot of it comes down to this. Do you honestly believe that the invitation of Jesus is to more? Do you believe that that invitation is to something better? Bill Hybels says, and I've used this before, I'm going to keep using it because it's great, hits the nail on the head. The best gift you can give a human being is an introduction to a God who loves them. If I truly believe that, that totally changes how I carry myself. That totally changes how I handle things if I believe that invitation is to something more. If I believe it's the best gift that I can give them. So does your life portray that? Does your life portray that you can invite someone to something more? Because Christians can be the worst sometimes. We can say that, right? Christians can be the worst. Sometimes they're the grumpiest people, and the only people that Christians treat worse than outsiders are other insiders or other people in the church. Like, this is one of the least political churches that I've ever heard of. But that's how Christians can be at certain times. And I wonder how that life is going to somehow offer somebody else more. There was a church meeting in Georgia this week, and I won't tell you the church name. You can find it if you want to. But there was a full-out brawl at their church meeting. The sheriff's department had to come and break it up. There's some graphic video. It's a pretty serious fight. And as I'm watching that, I was thinking two things. One, I was thinking, how is that going to draw anyone in? Who saw that on the news and was like, honey, I know where we're going to church next week? Like, that's not a good plan. The second thing I thought is, man, our summit was kind of boring last week. I mean, everybody... like, it went really well, and I was excited at the time, but I saw that and thought, wow, you could sell tickets to that. We're not going to. The summit was great. If you were here, you know that. If not, come next year. It's a really good time about hearing what God is doing in our church. But we have to live lives that portray that, that portray that we know that there is more. So are you living a life that would make someone else want to know what is different about you? Are you living that life? And I don't mean like health and wealth and happiness, you know, like, man, oh, they've got everything figured out. Because some of the people that I find myself admiring the most are people that have gone through awful things, and they've done it with peace, and they've done it with grace, and they've done it with hope. And I look at those people, and I think, those are the kind of people I want to get to know more. I want to learn about their walk with Christ and how they do that. Because people are looking for that. People all around you that you're going to encounter today and this week are looking for hope, and they're looking for peace, and they're looking for grace. People are looking for acceptance. They're looking for unconditional love, and you know where that is. You know how to find what they are looking for. And we carry ourselves differently when we truly believe that. Back in the passage in verse 18, it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. And then in verse 20, it says, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. And from that, I see that the invitation of Jesus is to a new way of living. It's to a new way of living. It's just something different. And I want to make this really clear, because while Jesus invites us to follow him and not become immediately like him, like I already said, he does not call us to stay the same broken people struggling with the same things year after year. I want to be crystal clear on that. Jesus is inviting you to more than just coming to church every now and then so that you feel a little less guilty about committing the same sins over and over again. He's inviting you to a lot more than that. And as with a lot of things, Pastor Greg has a really great way of putting this. And he said this to a bunch of people, so don't feel like I'm telling your story if he said this to you. But sometimes people will be laying something out for Greg, and they'll be telling him about why it's not working and how things have gone wrong and where things have you know, kind of gotten messed up. And he'll say, have you ever just considered trying to do things God's way? And he'll ask that question. And man, that's a poignant question. Like, that really hits home, because that makes a lot of sense. That's the invitation of Jesus, is to a new way of living. So sometimes people will talk to me about their financial mess, and they'll be going through, and if you're in a financial mess, I'm not making fun of you. We would love to help you as a church figure some of that out. But as people are laying out the financial problems they're having, I'm thinking, I don't know, have you ever just tried to handle your finances the way that God teaches in the Bible? Have you ever said, you know what, let's get radical about getting rid of debt and living on a budget and tithing and saving, you know, the things that God talks about in the Bible? Maybe we should just give his way a shot, because our way doesn't seem to be working. So maybe we should take that invitation to a new way of living. There'll be times where people will say, like, I don't know what it is. You know, my relationships are always a mess. It's just been one bad relationship after another, and it just doesn't seem to be working. And I'll say, not usually to them, but in my head, have you ever just thought about maybe not meeting people in bars and sleeping with them before you get married? Because that's not working. Like, that's got you to where you are, and it hasn't worked well. So maybe let's try a new plan, and let's try doing what Jesus invites us to, which is a new way of living. And that's just what he invited the disciples to that day, was a new way of living. And listen, I am not saying that if somebody's been walking with God for a while that they are perfect. In fact, if you've been walking with God for an extended period of time, you're probably keenly aware of how imperfect you are, because the closer you get to God, the more that light shines and you start to see some things that you didn't know were there before the light exposed that. I always think of this sweet old woman I would go visit in a nursing home at one of my old churches. And I mean, she was like mid-90s. I mean, she was on the older side of old. And I said that in the first service, and then somebody came and they identified themselves as being on the younger side of old. And I said, that's perfect. See, that's great. But she was very experienced in life. And we would talk, and I'd hear stories about her kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and stuff. And then we were done, and I would ask her how I could pray for her. And she would always have two things. One, abortion was very close to her heart. She wanted to pray for the aborted babies and for the moms and for that situation in our country. And then she'd get really quiet, and she'd get a little teary, and she'd say, can you just pray for me? Because I really struggle judging people and judging some of the people in here. And I would look at this woman, and you could not see sin in her life. But I think she had walked with God so long and so closely that light had just exposed something that to me would have felt relatively minor, right? If I get down to just judging people, I'm in a lot better shape than I am right now. But that was the thing, because she'd walked with him so closely. It's kind of like renovating an old house. We had some neighbors next door. We had a zombie house next door, which some of you have, or you've seen that on the news. If not, you think I'm talking about like Walking Dead, and I'm not. But it was a really nice house, and it was empty forever. And this nice young couple, they bought it. First, it was great because I was really excited. I was going to go like invite them to Northgate, and turns out they're like great Christian people, really engaged in their church. I'm like, what a waste, you know? I mean, it's great. I'm glad to have them as neighbors, but I was excited to invite them to Northgate, and they're all set. But they bought this house, and this house had been empty for a while, and it had a bunch of damage. And so the first thing they had to do and to renovate it was they had to get, there's one wall that was all moldy, and they had to tear it down to the studs and just completely redo it and start there before they could even move in. And so you might be thinking like, well, you get that done, and then you're in pretty good shape. Well, there's some problems with the roof, and then there's some problems with the kitchen and a bunch of different renovations. And as they live there longer and longer, there's things that they need to repair. And you probably thought at the beginning, well, if you get the mold taken care of and the roof, you're in good shape. I remember thinking when I started to walk with Jesus, or to try, if we can get alcohol taken care of, then this will be good. God and I will cruise for like 70 years. But as we got that taken care of, it turns out that I have a lot more issues than just that. That God's saying, okay, that's good. You're doing well there. Now let's start working on some other things. Now let's start working on the condition of your heart and various other things. And that's what that invitation of Jesus is. It's to another way of living. And it doesn't happen all at once, and it doesn't happen up front, but it does happen when we follow Jesus. And just so you know, that's actually the point of what we do here every week. That's the whole point. Pastor Vern and I, we have this crazy idea that we're going to study God's word, and we're going to pull parts of it out and try and help you apply it to your life. And then when you leave, you're going to do some things differently during the week because of what you heard here on Sunday. I know it's crazy, but that's why we do what we do. That's why we spend the time doing it, is so that you can learn from God's word, and then you can go out and apply it to your life and do things differently. I hope that last week some of you were saying, I don't have to be self-promotional to get ahead in life. Like, I didn't know that. That's totally new for me. Or other people were saying, that's a great reminder. I'm going to keep my eyes open for how I can serve people through the week. And that's the whole point, because following Jesus is an invitation to a new way of living. A little bit later in Mark 2, we see another invitation passage with Jesus. Mark 2, starting at verse 13. And it says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And we see that the invitation of Jesus is for everyone. It's for everyone. Jesus didn't tell Levi, you better quit your job and you better find some new friends. But you know what's awesome? In time, by following Jesus, both of those things happened. Isn't that really cool? Jesus didn't put that down as like a blanket demand before he started to follow him, but as he followed him, both of those two things happened. And that's because the invitation of Jesus is for everyone. The invitation is for somebody like Levi. It's for somebody like me. It's for somebody like you. And it's even for people that make us uncomfortable. It's for people that fall outside of our comfort zone, because Jesus' invitation to God's grace is not limited to my comfort zone. I wish it was. I really like to operate in my comfort zone. I like to do things that I feel comfortable with people that I feel comfortable with. That's nice. That's easy. But God doesn't see it that way. And so he doesn't limit his grace just to people of an economic status that I'm comfortable with. If they make about the same amount of money, if they're not, you know, they're not way too rich or they're not way too poor, they're just like kind of normal, you know, in the middle like me, then I feel comfortable with them. God says, no, my grace is for more than just that. It's not limited to your political persuasion. It's not limited to someone that votes like you did or has the same opinions that you do. It's not limited to whatever races you've been exposed to the most and are most comfortable with or have the least biases towards. It's not limited to somebody without a criminal past where you say, well, if you haven't done this, 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 or this, then this invitation is for you. It's not limited to that. And it's not limited to people who have wronged us, to somebody that we need to forgive, to someone that we say, well, I'm just, you know, I would never want them to be forgiven. I wouldn't want them to experience the same freedom in Christ that I have. That's not how that works. So who do you write off? Is there anyone in your life that you don't feel is deserving, is as deserving of the same forgiving and redeeming grace that you have experienced? Maybe you do it consciously, maybe you do it subconsciously. But are there people that you have hatred and biases and prejudice towards? Because I want you to know, you will not encounter anyone this week that God doesn't love. Nobody, the worst person in your neighborhood, the person that drives you the most crazy at work, whoever it is, you will not encounter someone that God does not love. And in the same way, you're not going to encounter anyone who Jesus' invitation does not extend to, even if they're outside of your comfort zone. And when we read the Gospels like we are in this series, we see that Jesus' heart is continually towards the broken and towards the struggling. Throughout his ministry, these are the people that flock to Jesus, that he makes time for, that he values, that he invests in. And I want the same to be said of you and of me and of Northgate. We need to be people who invite everyone, because the invitation of Jesus is for everyone. So here's the takeaway. Let's try and synthesize some things today. The invitation of Jesus is for each one of us, but it doesn't stop with us. So who are you inviting? Who are you inviting to church? Who are you inviting to maybe consider trying things God's way? Who are you having those conversations with? Who are you inviting to ask questions by the life that you are living, by the hope and the peace and the grace that you are portraying? Because the invitation of Jesus is for us, but it does not stop with us. It cannot stop with us. On January 24th, 1999, which now suddenly sounds like a really long time ago, I received an invitation. I was invited to go to church. I was a college student, and I was not in church, and things were not going well. Now, lest you think it was some friend with a great evangelistic heart, it wasn't. His life was as big of a mess as mine was, but he was going to break up with his girlfriend soon, and he didn't want it to just be the two of them because he thought it'd be awkward, so he's like, hey, come be our third wheel. You can joke around and keep it light, that's something I can usually do. So he like begged me to come to church. He's like, please, just come with me. Don't make me go alone with her, please. So I went to church, and I obviously didn't have like the best motivation for going, but I went to church, and I went to a church I'd never been to before or since. I actually tried to find it this week, because at that time it was meeting in a little old grocery store in Pittsburgh. It was a small church. I don't know the pastor. I don't know what he did, how he presented the invitation of Jesus differently, because I grew up in the church and I'd heard that thousands of times before I heard it that day. But that day, something was different. That day, that truth grabbed my heart in a different way, in a way that it never had before and it never had since, in a way that drew a line in the sand of my life before that date and my life after that date. And so that invitation from my friend led to an invitation from that pastor that changed the entire trajectory of my life, changed who I was, changed what I would do, changed my eventual family, changed my eternal destination. And I would be guilty at this point of pastoral malpractice to not offer you an invitation. I mean, it would be so short-sighted to speak this entire sermon and not offer you an invitation, because I believe that there are some people here, and you've been trying to figure this out. You're not even sure why you're here. Maybe somebody took you out to breakfast before or lunch after. You came and you weren't even entirely clear. But I believe that God brought you here on purpose for a very clear reason. Because as we went through this, and I said, man, you know, the invitation of Jesus is to those who are looking for more. You say, man, I've been looking for more. I don't have this all figured out. I don't know. I feel like there's got to be more to this life than what I've experienced so far. And you know that that invitation is there for you. For some people, you know, when I talked about the invitation to a new way of life, that resonated with you because you're saying, what I've been doing is not working. I got to try things a different way. I need a new way of life. And that is the invitation of Jesus. And the invitation is for you. Other people, you've been made to feel like you couldn't follow Jesus because you aren't good enough now. You aren't good enough at the starting point. And I hope that you heard really clearly that that is not true. That the invitation is to follow and to let Jesus work on you as that relationship progresses. Or for people, I have no doubt there are people here who don't think that the invitation of Jesus is for them. I get asked all the time, can God forgive all of my sins? I'll say, yes, absolutely. Well, you don't know what I did yet. And I said, that's okay. You can tell me if you want to, but I don't need to know what you did, because the only thing that God does not forgive is a calloused heart that will not turn to him and repent. And so it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the things that you've done that you hold deep inside that you hope nobody ever finds out about that. God can and he will forgive that, because the invitation of Jesus is for everyone. So for me to lay that out to you and not offer you an invitation to step over that line today, it would be incredibly short-sighted. So I want to do that, but I got to do it in a Northgate way, because I don't know how many of you would come forward. We're pretty passive in a lot of ways. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray in a minute, and you can pray right where you are. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray this. God knows your heart. You can pray it now. And I'm just going to ask you to do one thing for me, one thing. I just want you to let Pastor Vern know, to let me know, to let Pastor Dave know that you did this. And that's not to pad our statistics. We're not going to walk you out to the car and change all your radio program buttons to K-Love. We're not going to do anything like that and take you down to get you some good Christian tattoos. We want to help you walk this walk well. And when you make that decision, that's coming out of the starting blocks. It's not crossing the finish lines. And we would love to partner with you and help you do that. So I'm going to pray. You can pray with me right where you are. And then just afterwards, let one of us know that you did that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the invitation that you've given me. God, I accept that invitation. Lord, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace. Lord, help me to live a new life, not by my own power, but by yours. Lord, thank you for the new life that you offer us. Today, I claim that as mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. For other great resources, explore our website at northgatefmc.com and come back next week for another great message. Have a wonderful week.